this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome. 21 March, it's Thursday, 21 March, Year of Our Lord 2024. We're going to continue our conversation from the previous hour. I've got Frank Gaffney, a bunch of experts here in this hour. Frank, and I want to get to your discussion. We had the rabbi on yesterday, which is very powerful, about Schumer. Also got to ask you about Taiwan, but principally this budget that's coming out, fully loaded, correct me if I'm wrong, funding all the WHO, everything we're talking about on this, what is really a treaty that's happening in May. Walk our audience through it, because we're manning the ramparts all day. People have been bombarding with calls, but we want specificity, like we're getting from Mike Hound, the team over at Heritage. What do you got for us on the WHO?
I got a lot. I just did an interview with a fabulous gal. I think I've interviewed her as well. Zhivan Fleet, survivor of Mao's Cultural Revolution. We did it for our program on Real America's Voice, Securing America. It'll run tonight. She had the experience of cultural Marxism and revolution. And she says this effort by the Chinese Communist Party to impose global governance on the world through cutouts like the World Health Organization is just right out of the playbook of the Marxists, foreign in China and domestic here notably. And that's why we find ourselves at the present pass, Steve. This has been building for some time. We've talked about it on any number of occasions with you and the posse. The president of the United States is stealthily seeking to surrender our sovereignty, states' rights, and our medical freedoms, yours and mine and everyone in this audience, to a Marxist plucked from obscurity, running a terrorist operation in Ethiopia by the name of Tedros Ghebreyesus, who is the director general, thanks to the Chinese communists, of the World Health Organization. He will be made under not one, but two treaties that are supposed to be approved starting on May 27th of this year. He'll get the authority to become the arbiter of whenever we have a public health emergency in this country and what we must do about it. Now, never in the history of this country, from the founding to the present moment, has anybody in the United States had that kind of authority, arguably, but certainly under no circumstances have we ceded it to some wholly unaccountable, unelected foreign bureaucrat who has no medical experience, by the way. So this is wrong on so many different levels. We did a webinar yesterday of our Committee on the Present Danger China, coupled up with a task force we have called the Stop.
But hang on. The Republicans control the House. Hang on. They know all this, right? They know all this. The audience here is vast. I've talked to them about it a number of times. How did this get back in with it? Because a lot of this I thought was taken out. How did all this get back in? And now they're proposing on to slam it through and not have 72 hours to review it. How did all this get back in and who put it back in?
Okay, well, for one thing, they didn't get 72 hours. They may have 24. Steve,
right.
A senior member of Congress said the other day to me that this is arguably the most important national security threat about which basically nobody knows anything. And that's true of the members of Congress, too. Yes, the House of Representatives, thanks to, I think, the pluck and the drive of Mario Diaz-Balart, one of the cardinals in the Appropriations Committee, a guy by the name of John Molinar, another member of that committee, and a few others, Ralph Norman, Bob Good, and others, but basically a handful of people put into the appropriations measure for foreign operations in the House of Representatives earlier this year, actually maybe even late last year, a provision that said two things. One, there will be no funding for the World Health Organization for all the reasons I've just mentioned. And secondly, anything that comes out of that operation in the nature of these treaties has to be brought before the Senate and approved before there will be any further funding. Well, that went over the side because, as you may have noticed, Steve, the House of Representatives isn't allowed to have any say on matters of policy with respect to the spending of government funding. That all has to go away because the Senate won't let it happen. And then they basically have to do whatever the Senate says in terms of the actual funding as well. So they're putting all kinds of pork and earmarks and everything else in. But in this case, they are fully funding the World Health Organization and essentially stripped out all that language about going to the Senate. The Senate doesn't want, by the way, to have to consider this. When Ron Johnson offered an amendment saying we ought to do it, it was defeated by the Democrats. The point is, they want us to be in the dark. Your program has probably done as much as anybody in the country to try to educate the American people about what is afoot and what it is going to mean to each and every one of us. Because as I'm fond of saying, you're about to meet your new doctor, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the man who will tell you when you have to take a vaccine, when you will take it, and you know, what other restrictions there will be on your freedom of movement, on your ability to leave your house, all manner of other things. Remember, this is the guy who brought us the China model when he just had an advisory role in the pandemic of launched on us by the COVID bioweapon.
This is a guy who said it was not spreading to humans on the 12th and 13th of January 2020, this the guy said lied. The CCP got to him. He lied about all of it, right? Didn't even name it a pandemic until March. For 60 days, lied. This guy is the worst. He's a CCP puppet.
He's a running dog.
The CCP controls the a running dog. After, in Geneva, they run the whole deal. On every operation over there, they run the whole deal. Frank, where do people go to get information right now? Because we're bombarding with emails, calls, local office, national office up on Capitol Hill. The number is 202-225-3121. Where do they go to the Sovereignty Coalition to get all the information they need to get armed with before they drop a bomb on people? A metaphorical bomb, I might add.
Figuratively, right. What we're talking about, Steve, is something they need to spend, I think, a little bit of time informing themselves about. The webinar that the Committee on the Present Danger China did yesterday is a great thing to get. It's all there. presentdangerchina.org. Subscribe to those webinars, by the way, if you would. But to your specific question, the action that we need them to take right now is to go to sovereigntycoalition.org. And right there at the top of the page, you will find a button that takes you directly to your representative in the House of Representatives. And you need to maybe give them the script, call them, otherwise connect with them to say, do not fund the World Health Organization ever again. We need to get out of the damn thing, frankly, but it starts with not funding it. And that's exactly what the House of Representatives is being told they have to do tomorrow. This is a very urgent deal.
Well, President Trump did get us out of it, or started the process of getting out of it. Okay. I got a short clip. I'm pressed for time, but I got to play this. I want to talk to you about Taiwan. Play the clip and then I'll bring Frank back in.
And comments made by Taiwan's defense minister seem to imply that American troops are currently training members of the Taiwanese military on its outlying islands. That would be on the front lines of the conflict with China. The Wall Street Journal reports the defense minister's comments marked a rare acknowledgement by Taiwan of activity by American troops on its territory. Joining us now, Democratic Congresswoman Elise Slotkin of Michigan. She's a member of the House Armed Services Committee and a former CIA analyst. She's also a candidate for U.S. Senate. And I guess first I'd like to hear your reaction to the report I just read about American military assistance on these Taiwanese outlying islands.
Yeah, I mean, look, without going into to details on those specific islands, I will just say I think we're open about the fact that we have a military relationship with Taiwan. I mean, that we have delegations that come here to the United States. I went myself a couple of years ago. Lots of members of Congress on a bipartisan basis have gone. We all know that we're concerned about, you know, scenarios in the future where China could take a military action to take Taiwan. And so we don't want that to happen. We want to deter that from happening. And one of the ways that you do that is by helping the Taiwanese become, as we say, like a porcupine, spiky and difficult to take. And so it doesn't feel terribly like breaking news to say that we have a military, you know, relationship with the Taiwanese.
Okay, Frank Gaffney, this is the most important of all the hot zones, whether it's Ukraine, the Red Sea, Gaza. This is the big one. Walk me through. We have advocated for a long time for this to happen. Walk me through what you believe is going on.
Well, it's a very belated response to recommendations our Committee on the Present Danger of China has been making. We do, in fact, I think, need to create as much of a deterrent to the Chinese aggression against Taiwan as we can. I believe that it makes more sense to have American personnel there as a tripwire on the main island of Taiwan, not on Kinmen, which is all of 4,000 feet from the coast of China. This is a formula for just getting a lot of guys taken very early on in a fight. But our problem is, Steve, that the reason this is the main thing, as our friend Jim Fennell likes to say, is that China is determined not only, I believe, to take Taiwan, but they're determined to take us down as well. And what's so worrying, and you've done a great job reporting on this with Todd Benson and others, is that there are now large numbers of Chinese military personnel in the United States of America. And it doesn't seem as though that's a particular concern to anybody in our government. Well, maybe a handful of exceptions, but basically, you don't see any effort being made to find those guys, to get them the devil out of this country. We need to be doing that right.
Well, hang on, that's why either shut the border or shut the government right now. That's the fight we're in on this budget. But what about yesterday, with all the overwhelming evidence we have of being in business with CEFC, which is not just an energy company, it is the capital markets allocator of One Belt, One Road, one of the biggest strategic initiatives they've ever had for their plan for hegemony in East Asia, then the Eurasian landmass, and eventually the world, including the United States of America. Give me your assessment yesterday of the handling of what was overwhelming evidence in front of a Democratic onslaught to make it seem like it was a nothing burger, sir.
Well, I share your concern about the quality of the Republican application of all of this evidence, Steve. It's been really pathetic. But the facts are the facts. And the Biden crime family is up to its neck in enabling the Chinese Communist Party's operations, influence operations, elite capture, and I think penetration and subversion of this country. And this is just one more example of the pay to play. They were being paid to do the sorts of things that they're doing. And I think destruction of our border, allowing in fact, get this, facilitating the penetration of Chinese military personnel. And we say military personnel, they're fighting age people, they're unaccompanied men, they're moving in groups, they've got the same equipment, and so on. But look, they're military, there's probably PLA special operators is what they are. And we now have them by the tens of thousands in America. And nothing is being done to stop that. And yet this, furthermore, my biggest concern, frankly, about having those guys here is what happens if they marry up with those biolabs, which probably exist, not just in Reedley, California, as we found, but elsewhere. This is a paramount concern. And I think we ought to be deterring aggression in Taiwan for sure, but we ought to be cleaning up what is a present danger of the first order in this country arising from this Chinese presence here.
A clear and present danger, I might add. Amen. Okay, Frank, where do they get the show? Where do they get your content? Where do they get over to the clear and present danger? All this content is free. Where do they go?
Present Danger China for the webinar yesterday and all the rest of them and a lot more, including our recommendations about what to do about Taiwan. The show is securingamerica.tv and here at Real America's Voice, of course. I also commend to you all Sovereignty Coalition. This is where the action is today. We need you to go today, 66 days from today. They will push these treaties through unless we stop them. And a first step, a very important first step, would be to defund the WHO and then get the hell out of it.
Shut down the border or shut down the government. Let's defund the WHO as part of this. Okay, Frank, thank you. Great work, sir.
Thank you, my friend. God bless.
Senior political reporter, correspondent for the Daily Caller and the Daily Caller Foundation, Reagan Reese, joins me. Reagan, an incredible piece, and I think this was a reality check with all the happy talk and people running around, and good intention people running around. You had a piece that kind of grabbed me by the throat. It talked about the reality check of what's really going on voter integrity and, quite frankly, how the Mark Eliases of the world have stolen a march on the, and it may be for lack of resources, lack of focus, I don't know, but your piece was pretty definitive, I thought, on how strong the Democrats are on really doing a end run around all of us about election, quote-unquote, integrity for the upcoming 2024 election. Can you walk us through your piece, ma'am?
Yeah, of course. So at the top of the year, 2024, it's an election year. It's a presidential election year. We sought out to find out what Republicans were doing on the election integrity front. This is something that has fired up a lot of people, that means a lot to Americans. We spoke to the RNC, who is making an effort. They have 13 election integrity councils across 13 states. They are looking to file about 100 lawsuits in this election cycle. They're at about 80 now across 23 states. But despite this effort where they have this whole election integrity department, things right now are shaping up to look a lot like 2020. There are a number of swing states with ballot boxes, no excuse absentee voting, and more than 2 weeks of early voting. And so those are things that were concerning to Americans in the 2020 election that still remain in place or are poised to remain in place to 2020 in the 2024 election. That's not to say that things could change. There is still some time for Republicans to continue to make this effort. I'm optimistic with the new RNC leadership that we might see a little bit more of a push. But that's where things stand right now. It seems to be, looking a lot like 2020.
Let's go back to that, because this was the central reason there was a management change at the RNC. The small dollar donors and the people in the field, particularly in, they kept getting reports in these battleground states that, hey, we keep hearing that you're filing these lawsuits, but we don't see it. And particularly, we see Mark Elias and his team out here, and we still have the same kind of infrastructure, the same process structure as we do in 2020. Is that essentially what your reporting reaffirms?
When we sought out to do this, had a very open mind into finding what Republicans were doing. You mentioned kind of this messaging problem that a lot of Americans don't know what's going on. There is a very robust field in the election integrity sphere. There's a ton of organizations who are dedicated to fighting this. In some of those organizations that we spoke to, some of these conservative pundits on the right had no idea what the RNC was doing. We found out through our conversation with the RNC that they're actually partnering with the NRCC and the NRSC. Obviously, when there's a lack of messaging and people don't know, then they don't have faith in the election system. And so that can be concerning. And the RNC raised this to me, that they are aware that if Americans don't know of the work that Republicans are doing, then they're going to be they're not going to have as much trust in the 2024 election if they can't communicate with them properly. And I think that my reporting shows that they have some work to do on that front. And hopefully, my reporting served a bit of that purpose.
When you went, because you started with an open mind, You start at the beginning of the year and say, hey, let me see whether this was such a big deal in 2020 and 2022. Let's just do a reset, see where things stand. Is it your belief, because this is a deeply reported piece, is it your belief after spending time that the Democrats and their outside groups take this more seriously, put more resources in it, get better lawyers? Is Mark Elias the evil genius that we play him up to be, or is it just something more mundane about it? We're actually maybe doing as well, but it's just a messaging problem we have, not an actuality of what's happening on the ground problem.
Well, what I would point to on that front is that Republicans are playing catch up. They're about 40 years behind. They had their hands tied behind their back, the RNC specifically, by a consent decree that came into place in 1982 when the Democrats sued the RNC and kind of barred them from making an effort on the election integrity front. That was lifted in about 2018, 2019. From 2020 to 2022, what the RNC was doing, an official described it to me as proof of concept. And so they were beginning to make an effort on this front, starting to ramp up their election integrity efforts. And then former chairwoman Ronna McDaniel finally moved to make the election integrity division an actual department of the RNC, allowing them to get more resources, more funding, more staff, and actually really dive into this effort. So when we compare Democrats to Republicans, it's really important to take into note that they've been playing catch up and they have a lot of ground to make up and had their hands tied by this lawsuit from 1982.
62, we should have played the clip, but we're pressed for time. We played to open the show this morning with Don Jr., but Harry Enten over at CNN, I think it was Aaron Burnett and Harry Enten, did a segment on exit polls, and I think they specifically focused on Ohio, but exit polls coming out of Ohio, but it's consistent with Harry Enten, the chief pollster of CNN, has done throughout the country. Exit polls are showing that 75% of Republican voters believe that Joe Biden's an illegitimate president, that he wasn't legitimately elected. Now, we take great pride in that here at the War Room because it's a central thesis of this show. But given the fact that 75% of Republican primary voters, which are kind of the base of the base, the core voters, your core group, believe that Biden's illegitimate, do you think people like the NRSC and the NRCC and the RNC should have made this or have to make this a number one priority? Because my sense and what I'm hearing, you weren't exactly welcome with open arms when you started just asking some basic questions. You didn't have any angle that you were trying to do. You weren't trying to embarrass anybody. You're just trying to do one of those opening year things of where we stand. Were you welcomed with open arms given where the base? They already know where they are. They think not just was there cheating, not just was there something funny in 2020, but that they think that Biden is illegitimate, and they're prepared to tell that to someone on an exit poll, which, as you know, heretofore, a lot of them haven't even been comfortable saying they voted for President Trump. The reason exit polls are off. Your thoughts, ma'am?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of a balancing act here when it comes to this effort from the RNC, NRCC, NRSC. They're also working on election integrity, but a good chunk of Republicans and the movement are dedicated to kind of or really want to play by Democrats' rules. And what that means, a perfect illustration of this, is once we learned that the NRCC and the NRSC were helping on this effort with the RNC and kind of bankrolling it, we approached the NRCC and we asked them, hey, can we interview you and talk to you about your election integrity efforts? The response that I got back was an Axios link to their Get Out the Vote efforts and all of that stuff that they were doing on that front. And it was about one line of response telling me that this would be good background. I followed up two additional times. And then finally, on the third time, this was all over the span of a couple of days, when we called it out as lazy on the NRCC's part for, you know, not giving us an interview request and just shooting us that get out the vote link. They said, you know, we've complained to your editors a number of times about your coverage and, quote, we really don't care to engage on pieces we don't care about to help you guys out, end quote. And we have a prominent conservative pundit who we shared that email with, who read it and saw, you know, this seems like they're just mailing it in on election integrity efforts. And he kind of explained that this was about maybe just playing this get out the vote wing, playing by Democrats' rules and diving into that area. So that was a really a stunning find, I think, to realize that Republicans are kind of walking this tightrope and trying to dive into election integrity, but also trying to play by Democrats' rules and making sure that both are a priority.
Did they realize you're from the Daily Caller? I mean, it's only one of the most powerful media platforms in the conservative movement and in the country. Did they know that you were a senior political reporter from Daily Caller and not some blog site, some person in college? Did they understand when they blew you off like that? Because that's pretty in your face. They understand that you're a senior political reporter at Daily Caller?
If they didn't before, they probably do now. They... You know, in my email signature, I try to introduce myself. We were approached later by the communications director and were able to have more of a dialogue with him, where he explained to us that they, in one quarter, had put in $2 million to this effort and that it was being split equally among the thirds. And he, you know, tried to give us a little bit more to work with than what we were originally given. So, yes, I do think they know what outlet we were and who I am.
Reagan, we got to bounce. Social media, where they get you? The Daily Caller. I want people to start reading your material.
Read the Daily Caller. I'm the White House correspondent. And then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Reagan Reese.
Fabulous job. Great piece. We'll make sure we push that hard. Reagan Reese, White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, Daily Caller Foundation. Short commercial break. Pastor John on the other side. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action. Criminals have access to more advanced tools than ever, and now they're using them to steal our most valuable asset. That would be your home. In Miami, an elderly woman didn't find out an empty plot of land she owned was stolen until she went to pay taxes. A stranger had already paid them, and property records showed she had sold the land. They had forged her signature and registered a fake deed. How scary is that? That's why you need to get Home Title Lock today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and immerse yourself in this information. Think that it can't happen to you? Well, you are wrong. When's the last time you checked your home's title? All a thief has to do is forge your signature, refile as the new owner. And once your home is not in your name, it can get really ugly, and it can get really ugly fast. They can take out equity loans or even sell your house to an unsuspecting buyer who shows up at your door one day and says, "Hey, this baby is mine." Don't think your home insurance policy will protect you. It won't. Check your home today for free. When you get to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Bannon at signup. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon at signup. You'll get a free scan of your home's title plus 30 days of protection totally free. That is 30 days of protection totally free. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon. Do not let these thieves steal your home in broad daylight. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
I'm here to read from a book entitled Push by Sapphire. This book depicts racism. It depicts incest. A father rapes his daughter and impregnates her twice. This needs to be removed tonight. We have six men on this board. If you don't remove this book, you're either a punk or a pervert. Pick, choose your medicine. Remove the trash. Take it out tonight. These students deserve better. You guys are walking me out because I spoke the truth. We're not going to allow our daughters and our sons, our granddaughters, to be offended and allow this kind of trash in the school system.
Let you know right now.
Thank you.
I'm no punk and I'm no pervert.
Is the book coming out tonight?
I will try to get it out tonight. I can't make that call, but I promise you that I will do my best.
I need you to do everything you possibly can to get it out tonight.
No pervert.
And so you're going to get it out, right?
I will get the book out.
Thank you. Give this man a hand. Give this man a hand. That's what we need.
Welcome back. Pastor John joins us. Pastor, I got a question. Is it, and I'm going to get to this amazing article you wrote here in a moment, but is it just my perception, but are forceful, powerful black men that are making a stand for traditional values and traditional family being singled out? And I think of you and Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson down in North Carolina. Are you guys being singled out by the media and the progressive culture for destruction?
This is true. The left loves it when black men are dependent upon the government. You know, Lyndon B. Johnson said that he would have these N-words voting for the Democrat Party for the next 200 years. And sadly, that has worked. But President Trump has done a phenomenal job in coalescing and receiving support from the black community. And that trend will continue as we move towards this election. Now, I see it every day that if you are a black man speaking and sharing biblical values, American values, traditional values, people will try to label you, cancel you, and deplatform you. If you are a buffoon who walks around speaking Ebonics, if you have your pants around your ankles, if you are a travesty to your own community, if you support the killing of the unborn, if you are pro-welfare and welfare states, they will laud you and support you. Evil people like Joy Reid like it when Negroes act like that. But when you stand for truth, when you stand for closing our borders and protecting our families, when you call illegal criminal aliens by their true identity instead of calling them asylum seekers and newcomers, if you stand for school choice, if you stand for protecting the baby in the womb, they don't want to hear that. And so, yes, we are attacked. We are assaulted. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is experiencing that right now. I've dealt with it for a number of years, but we don't scare easy. We don't punk easy. We're going to stand on truth. I believe in everything that this book says from Genesis to Revelations. I'm not a fair weather Christian. I'm not some Christian who believes the word of God when it's convenient. No, I'm willing to go down with it all the way to the end. And I believe this, that there's a difference between being a nice Christian and a faithful Christian. Nice Christians turn the other way and look the other way when it comes to dealing with the wicked woke left, those who push Marxism and communism in our country. They're nice. They soft pedal those issues. They won't even preach about it from their pulpit. They say nothing about it. But faithful Christians see what's going on and they speak truth to power. I say to every Christian believer that's out there, every individual in particular, listen, be a faithful Christian. Be an individual who stands boldly when it's time to stand. And that's the reason why I addressed the issue of Governor Glenn Youngkin and juxtaposed him to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is because he has waffled. He's beginning to cave, and we don't need that. If you campaign on biblical values, if you win your campaign off of standing for parental rights, when you get into office, we expect you to do just that when bills come across your desk. Not cave and sign into law, anti-marriage law acts and support sex and gender. You know, this whole big lie and myth and fairy tale around gender, It's a lie. There's no such thing as this concept of gender. The Bible says in Genesis 5:2 that God created us male and female, period. And if there should be anyone in this nation standing up for the sanctity of femininity and womanhood, it ought to be men. Men should do that. But today, many of our men are weak, they're spineless, they're timid. They are afraid to be quote unquote toxic, whatever that is. They are afraid to identify with men like President Trump, but they like beta politicians like President Biden. These things need to change. And I'm calling on men around this country to stand firm, stand boldly, protect your family, stand up for the sanctity of marriage. The idea and concept of marriage did not come from man, that came from God. The laws and the powers that be are governed and ordained by God. And so when Caesar and when Nero and when Lord Biden tells us things that go against our biblical beliefs, we don't support that. We stand wholly and boldly behind the word of God.
Pastor Mark, where can they go and get this article? I put it out everywhere, and I'd love to have you come back probably early next week if we work your schedule out. I want to compare and contrast the Youngkin governorship in the Commonwealth of Virginia to what a Mark Robinson governorship would be in the Tar Heel State, because I think that's the contrast. I think Mark Robinson's a hero. I think you can see what they're trying to do and destroy him. But between now and then, where do people go to get all the videos you're preaching, standing up the school boards, and particularly the brilliant writing you're doing?
Thank you. Go to iknowgod.us. Go to iknowgod.us. I'm in the process of creating a movement and raising up 400 school board warriors nationally, and I'm producing resources to help parents defeat the woke agenda in public schools and in universities. If you want that content and those materials, go to iknowgod.us and support my initiatives and campaign as I fight and stand for American values in this country.
Pastor John, you're a role model. Thank you so much. Honored to have you on here.
Thank you.
These are the fighters you need. I mean, these guys are not going to back down. And quite frankly, this is what you need right now, particularly at the school board level. You can't mess around with anyone. And Lieutenant Governor Robinson, Mark Robinson, they're out to destroy him, just like they're out to destroy Clarence Thomas. They're out to destroy Robinson. Okay, let's play a video from the New York Times, and I'm bringing the founder of Revolver News, Darren Beatty, to give us his commentary.
I will totally obliterate the deep state. I will fire. Donald Trump is obsessed with the deep state.
The deep state,
deep state,
the deep state is destroying our nation.
Either the deep state destroys America or we destroy the deep state.
And many Republicans are widening his paranoia.
These unelected bureaucrats ruining this country.
From a cabal of security agents to
the sick political class that hates our country.
If elected, Trump's vowed to gut the federal government.
Reinstate the Schedule F executive order and, quote, fire rogue bureaucrats.
But who are these bureaucrats and what makes them so dangerous? We needed answers, so we took a trip across America.
In 100 yards, take the exit.
In search of the people behind this threatening entity.
Look at it.
First stop, Huntsville, Alabama. Sure looks like some nefarious government activity happens around here.
You have reached your destination.
Meet Scott Bellamy.
I am a mission manager in the Planetary Missions Program Office.
He drives a Nissan Titan 4x4. He's loved Star Trek since he was a kid.
Of course I have a favorite character. It's either Captain Kirk or Mr. Spock.
And he may have quite literally saved the planet from annihilation.
Potentially.
You see, Scott managed a mission called
the Double Asteroid Redirection Test.
And back in 2022, his team used your tax dollars to pull off something kind of incredible.
You have an asteroid and you have a spacecraft, and you fly the spacecraft into the asteroid and try to change the trajectory of that asteroid. It's like playing pool in space. Everybody was holding their breath. Yeah, this is the moment of truth. Did we hit it?
We got it?
And we have impact.
They knocked an asteroid off its course, proving something that had previously only been done in movies.
Saving the world from an Armageddon scenario, potentially.
Next, we traveled deep into the swamp itself, Washington, D.C.
You have arrived.
This is Radhika Fox.
I am the Assistant Administrator for Water at the Environmental Protection Agency.
She loves Pilates, making salads, and watching the Taylor Swift Eras Tour on TV with her family.
I think we're all pretty 1989.
Oh, let me come in. This is a highly produced 6.5 minute, almost 7 minute, I think, mini little film by the New York Times. And they have a very sophisticated group that does this. Now, I want to pull the camera back. This is to make sure that anybody that's concerned about the deep state, the administrative state, because they never say administrative state there, is mocked and ridiculed as a bunch of wing nuts with tinfoil hats and, you know, we're crazy. Because these people are just Star Trek watchers and Pilates and Taylor Swift. They're just normal, average folks doing the job of bringing you services every day that make your life better. There's 2.2, I think there's 2.5 million roughly bureaucrats or people that are paid by the federal government that work for them full time. There's another 2.5, I think, totally in the military. But there's also 18 million, we think, that ranges 16 to 20, but let's average 18 million contractors, many of them, most of them, a lot of them full time. So the federal bureaucracy, including the military, is about 20 million people. To counter that, you get 3,000 political appointees, including the team over at the White House, of which my next guest was part of, Darren Beatty. You also have 1,000 Senate confirmed, but as you remember from the first term, Mitch McConnell can fast track the judges, but he'll slow walk Trump's appointees. Darren Beatty, Revolver's done probably the best or among the best jobs of the reporting on the new right, of going after the administrative state and the deep state. Give us your assessment of what the New York Times is trying to do here.
Well, it's a very interesting approach. Of course, the title is the nearly unbelievable, actually, the deep state is pretty awesome. And I think there's a number of things we should draw our attention to here. First, and I didn't even watch the full video because it was behind a paywall, and I never want to give money to the New York Times, but I saw enough of it and I read the brief intro that they had on the site. And it's interesting, they used Taylor Swift multiple times as a kind of proxy for, oh, just average, ordinary people just sitting around, you know, watching the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, and they like to eat. You know, I think there was some fast food reference too. The thrust of it was basically saying the deep state people are fairly quotidian, if I could use a word. And in a sense, I think this might even be inadvertently poor propaganda on their part, because I think there's a lot that rests on this misperception of the deep state as these kind of mysterious, hyper-competent, James Bond-type figures. Even on the negative side, we imagine them, or at least some people do, as these hyper-confident, nefarious spies doing all this inaccessibly difficult and impressive spy-type stuff, deep state stuff. Even the term kind of invokes a gravitas and mystery that is frankly entirely undeserved. And so I think inadvertently this piece was actually poor propaganda in the sense that it was kind of telling the truth, namely that these deep state people are just ordinary, average, mediocre, bureaucratic souls. And that accounts for 99.999% of these people. There's nothing special and nothing hyper-capable about any of them. So I think that's the first point that's important for all of us to understand, because we're not up against this like hyper-competent enemy or adversary. It's just mediocrity at scale has its own sort of force, and that's really what we're up against, the inertial force of bureaucratic mediocrity. So I think that's the first point that comes to mind. The second point is, actually, I thought the asteroid guy was very impressive. If that actually was the reality of the deep state, the reality of these bureaucrats that I just described, there would be nothing wrong with it. But how rich for the New York Times to pick a hyper-competent, hyper-intelligent white guy who invented some mechanism to save the Earth from asteroids. Give me a break. In another breath, in another piece, in another editorial, you'd have your DEI-obsessed New York Times rail against the fact that they have a white guy in this position rather than accommodating whatever diversity threshold requirements there would be. In any other context, the very existence of an older, competent white guy who likes Star Wars and just wants to do competent, cool stuff, that's the most racist thing in the world. That's the most objectionable thing in the world. That's totally antithetical to the underlying spirit of our current bureaucracy. So that's the other thing, is in that sense, it was not representative. And so it was representative in the case of trying to humanize, saying these are not, you know, James Bond, and they're not James Bond villains. They're just ordinary mediocrities. That is correct. What's not correct and not representative is the deep state is not competent white guys interested in getting things done effectively. And so in that sense, that first example was extremely misleading and almost comically so, given sort of the broader cultural texture of things these days.
Have we in information war strategy, we only got a couple of minutes, but have we had a big victory in that the New York Times, which is the daily rag of the administrative and deep state, feels that they have to put out an article and it says the deep state is pretty awesome to make sure that that the deep state understands they're coming, the cavalry is coming from the New York Times?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, they're certainly under threat. They think, you know, just the fact that they thought they needed to do this. But again, I think if I had been advising them, I would have advised for a different course, because I really do think that the opposition benefits tremendously from this false perception that we're dealing with these really you know, interesting, extremely talented James Bond type figures. You know, Hollywood has been done so much heavy lifting for these blatant mediocrities. It's really, that's not the thing. They're not James Bond villains. There's just so many of them that the inertia, the inertial weight of so much mediocrity is very hard to contend with. And that's the challenge. The challenge isn't, oh, there are these cool people doing all these cool nefarious things. And so in that sense, I think they really kind of punctured some of the mystique and therefore some of the tacit power that the deep state wields over the collective imagination.
Where do we go to get Revolver? Your news site is amazing every day. Where do we go?
Revolver.news, Revolver.news. People have been asking about it every day. There is a major pipe bomb piece in the works, but I've been so meticulous about it, maybe even perfectionist. I just want to get it all right. But that is coming very soon this week. If not later this evening, it's coming out tomorrow at the very latest, early next week. But that is absolutely in production. So stay tuned. We're on top of the election and, of course, everything else. Revolver.news. I'm on Twitter at Darren J. Beatty. And we are always extremely white hot, like an asteroid, on Getter at Revolver News.
Darren, thanks. Fantastic. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Darren Beatty, Revolver News. A must read every day. Multiple times should go back. Make sure that none of these really great swell, what do they call it? The deep state's pretty terrific. Make sure none of the terrific deep staters can listen to you to get your computer, get your iPad, get your information, your emails, your text messages, and particularly listen on your phone. Silent, the company, is there for you to make sure you're protected with these great Faraday bags, pouches, backpacks, all of it. SLNT.com. Put in promo code Bannon. Get a big discount. That's slnt.com/Bannon. Make sure you go there right now. Check it out. Make sure you never have your communication that can be violated by the deep or the administrative state. Also, gold earlier today hit an all-time high, I think $2,200. Birchgold.com. Now is the time because, hey, baby, look at what's driving this, the deficits. The world geopolitical situation, the uncertainty of it, like putting troops into Taiwan right now to confront the Chinese Communist Party and not let them take the chip factories. Birchgold.com. It's now time you talk to Philip Patrick team and get from them the convergent factors that are driving gold to all-time highs every couple of days. The great Lou Dobbs follows us. We're back at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning on Real America's Voice, The War Room. We're in this fight. I'll be up on Getter all night. Make sure you check me out. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on The War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, WarRoomHealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.